Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father God, your word is, it's amazing. It's amazing, Lord. There's so much that you want to even teach us about yourself this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would just help us to have ears to hear what you want to say. That we would take this time, Lord, and not miss out on the things that you want to impart to us about yourself. The assurance that we have that you are with us and that we can be courageous in the middle of storms, Lord God. We ask, Father, that you would, it would be your words, it would penetrate our hearts. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. This message in Joshua has been, I've been working through it for a while. It's really been heavy, just on my heart, and I'm excited to share it. It's so big as any message when you get into it and you start really studying. It becomes so big. You're like, I could never squeeze all of that in. And so by God's grace, we'll get what we need for this morning. But we're living in interesting times. If you follow the news at all, you see on the world stage, man can pretty much do what he feels is right in his own eyes. There seems to be an ever-increasing number of people opposed to the gospel of Jesus and opposed to the Bible. They're not like any times that we've ever known as a people, as a nation, as a body of believers that we've ever known. We've never been here before. I don't know about you, but I don't remember filling out a form and requesting the days in which we live. It seems as if it was just handed to us. And the world doesn't quite know what to do with us, with believers, with Christians. Should they be intimidated? Should they just ignore us and hope that we go away? Should they make us be quiet? You know, in the past, I felt like in some ways I was given this big broken world and it was up to me to know exactly what to do to fix it. You know, Joshua was actually handed a fairly complex and a little bit of a messy situation. Not unlike our own. And I think that's why this has really ministered to me personally. And I think that it's a word just from the Lord for us as individuals and as a church family. And then ultimately as the body of Christ, because it is from his word. But not unlike us, the Israelites had lost their way. And somewhere along the way, they had lost their faith. See, they'd been in the desert for 40 years and they weren't allowed to cross into the promised land because of a lack of faith on their part. They didn't believe that God was going to take them through. And in their unbelief, the Lord let a whole generation go away in the wilderness until a new generation rose up. And they were given an opportunity to continue to carry out God's plan. They stopped believing in the power of God, the greatness of God, and the plan of God. So God waited patiently for a new generation. Joshua was the man to lead this generation, but there were many up to the task of walking by faith once again. And Joshua is a story as beginning with these people at a river in the desert. They'd come to an end of a certain time, and the Lord was about to do a new thing. And this was the people group that he was going to use to do this new thing. And Joshua is the one. He's actually an amazing type of Jesus in the Old Testament, because Jesus is the one that leads us into that promised land. Now, you might have heard certain songs or things saying like, oh, just take me to the promised land, regarding the promised land as heaven. Well, in Scripture, the promised land is not heaven. It's not a type of heaven. What it is it's an illustration, the promised land, of a walk by faith in Jesus, following the Spirit of God, going from, because there's no battles in heaven. You can read more further in Hebrews 3 and 4, and it talks about that there will be another rest, a real rest, where we're done fighting. But you see, they go into the promised land, and they're getting ready to fight for a long time to take the things that God has promised to give to them. So Joshua really is the account of the children of Israel coming in and taking what the Lord had already given to them, past tense, and how they live that out. And for us, it's a life of how we live out in this world where we're unsure of the things around us and what we should be doing. It's a picture of how we follow Jesus, and he leads us in those things. So in these 9 verses, which we're just going to take a little bit to cover, I put that there were 4 things that I got that I really thought that we get from our text that God wants us to know in a new, fresh way, and he wants us to believe in a new and fresh way, and he wants us to live out in a new and fresh way. So here we go. So number one, we need to know this morning that you are not alone. I was up last night at like, I don't know, it was 1 something. And I wanted to see, my message was done, but I just was thinking about this word alone. And I just wanted to see some statistics on loneliness. We know that it's one of the leading causes of suicide in the world, is people feel like there's no hope. They feel like they literally are alone. There's no place to turn. And the statistics, they're pretty staggering of the age of lonely people that are experiencing loneliness are going down, down, down because of things like this, because you can be connected to 1,000 people at once and not know any of them and really feeling alone. And also with the brokenness of our world and the brokenness of relationships, people don't have anyone that they feel that they can turn to. And also the pride of man, because we want to come across as though everything is okay, so we never really let people know how we're doing, so we keep it all in. And to be in a lonely place where you feel like there's no hope and no one around, well, that's exactly where the enemy would want you to be. But we need to be for sure certain that as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, you are never, ever alone. Never alone. Paul said when he was in jail at the end of his life, he said, everybody has left me. So all the people around, they all left. Maybe they fled for their life. Maybe they were scared. Maybe they were doing the work that God had called them to do. And they weren't like fleeing from Paul, but they were doing what they needed to do. But Paul was alone. But he said this, he goes, but God stood with me. He wrote that to Timothy. These are the last words that Paul would pass on, is to his kind of protege, his son in the faith, so to speak. And he's passing the torch, and he was like, look at me. I've been written off. But God never wrote me off. He never left me. He is with me. And you see in verse 5 here, it says, and God is speaking to Joshua. Now imagine God speaking these words that we just read to you personally, as he spoke to Joshua. It's amazing. He is speaking those to us personally. But he says to Joshua in chapter 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Well, that's nice. He says, as I was with Moses, which God was with Moses, they met. Moses was in God's presence often. It's awesome. So I will be with you, God says. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So good. Joshua knew that he wasn't alone. The only way, and I'm like, how do you explain to someone that they can know that they're not alone? It's by faith and understanding that the Lord is true to his word. I'm like, you can't make someone believe the Bible. You can't make someone believe that God's words are true. It is a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life that will confirm the word of God, and you will take it on the inside. And you've heard the saying, I know that I know that I know, or I just can't shake it because I just know the Lord is with me. That is a work when the word of God and the Holy Spirit of God combine in your life, and you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what, God is with you. And that gives us a peace that the Bible says goes beyond understanding. Like someone says, explain that to me. I can't really. Well, hi, why? Because it says beyond understanding, I just know in the depth of my soul that God is with me. Joshua knew this. And by faith is something that you can't muster up enough strength to do. You just have to receive. Lord, I know that you're with me. Number one, you have to know that you're never alone. He saw firsthand, Joshua, how God was with Moses. So he watched. He had seen God working before, and he believed God. He believed what he said, and he believed that God would be with him too. A couple of verses for us to take to heart to know that we are not alone. Number one, Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This is a prophecy of Jesus being born. And it says, behold, we read this one at Christmas. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. Not God hanging out on earth, but God literally with us. He is with us. Emmanuel. One verse that I love, I mean, I love them all, but at the end of Matthew, when Jesus gives the Great Commission, he adds something. And, you know, he says, go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And then he says, and lo, which means behold, like check it out, exclamation point. Don't forget, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Those guys were all martyred for their faith, except for John. They were all martyred. How can you go through something like that? What is going on in our world right now? How do people do that? Have you talked with anyone that says, I don't know how they do that? How do you finish like that? Well, speaking of what's going on the other side of the ocean right now in our world as we speak, right now, people's lives are being taken because they say they believe in Jesus. Why would someone never turn from that? Because they know that God is with them. They know that they are not alone. I firmly believe that as Jesus revealed himself to Stephen when he was being stoned, that in some miraculous ways, he is giving a standing ovation to those that are finishing strong. The thing is, lukewarm Christians don't finish strong. Strong believers who know that they're not alone, they're the ones who finish strong in this life that we live. Do you know that you're not alone? Do you know that God is with you? If you know those things, when we face the hardships that we're going to face, maybe this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, maybe not for a few months, but there are things that come down the line that the enemy wants you to go, where's God at now? Seems like he's far away from here. But you say, no, he's not. He's right here. He is with me. No matter where I am, he is with me. If you can know that, it's going to help for these next things that we see, and it's also going to help you as you go forward in life, period. Mark 4:35, it says, on the same day they had been doing some ministry, and Jesus spoke to them. He said, come on, let us cross over to the other side. You've heard the story. They're in a boat together. Jesus nods off because he's tired because he's been working hard. Big storm comes up. They're like, Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you care? And he was like, man, I'm with you. Why, your little faith. I'm with you. And he calmed the waves, and then he calmed the storms in their own heart. And the Lord is with us the same way. Number one, God is with us. Joshua knew it. He had to accept that. If Joshua didn't accept that God was with him, you think he would have done these next things that are coming down the line? Like, well, we'll get there. But there's some pretty miraculous things that happen. Number two. In life, right now, in the world that we're in, do not trade what you don't know for what you do know. Don't trade what you don't know about God. Don't trade what you don't know about the future for what you do know about God and what you do know about your future and what you do know about the past. It's another thing that's amazing about God's word. This message, I've entitled it, "This is Our Time." This is our time. We were down in Oregon recently on a family vacation, and I finally got to go see the place where Goonies was filmed. And that, you know, it was awesome. And I kept thinking about that line where they're down in the cave and they hadn't quite found Chester Copperpot. You have to go back and check it out to know what I'm talking about. But they're in this place where they keep going forward or they quit because there's a bucket right there ready to like pull them up by some jerk of a guy. And he's like, "Oh, I'll rescue you, you know," or whatever. And then Mikey, he says, "This is our time. It's our time." And I feel like that is a church. This is our time. As a body, we've never been here before. You may have been a Christian for 60 years and you're still here. You might give your life to Jesus today, but this is us. We're on this earth and we've been handed a world like Joshua was handed. And we can't change everything of the past and we can't fix everything for the future, but we can decide who we're going to trust and who we're going to follow in the world that we're in. Joshua knew that he wasn't alone and he didn't trade what he didn't know for what he did know. I just want to review quickly what God told Joshua so far in these first 9 verses. Number one, Moses is dead. Well, that's comforting. Thank you. "Moses, my servant is dead. Now get up." Okay. And then number two, cross over the Jordan. Okay. Springtime, March. You guys seeing the river around here in the spring where it's like, it's not so much spring around here. It's like winter when it snows a foot and then it rains 4 inches and then the rivers are all swollen. You're like, "Whoa, I didn't know the river got that big." That's what the Jordan River is like at this time. It's the flood season. All the runoff is coming. So the river is ripping through the valley. So they're like, "Cross over. Take everyone with you." Maybe about 2 million people that are going to cross. Okay. "Possess the land that I promised the people. Everywhere you step, I've already given it to you." This is Lord speaking. "No one will be able to stand against you. I'll be with you. Meditate on the word night and day. Don't depart from it. Do whatever it says. Only then will you be successful. Oh, be strong and courageous because I'm with you." Go ahead. Joshua is just like, that's a lot to do. What does it say he does? It says he got to work. Think about how many, do you ever feel like in your life you have more questions than answers? I'm kind of like in that place all the time. I'm like, okay, I got more questions than answers, but here's what I do know for sure. God is with me. He has a plan for my life to give me a hope and a future, and he will reveal himself to me if I search for him with my whole heart. These are promises found only in the Word of God. So if you're not in the Word of God, searching these promises and taking these and applying these to your life and saying that scripture is mine, then you will find yourself distracted and distraught and dismayed and discouraged. And the Lord is saying to us, be of good courage. Think about the things that Joshua, if he would have had a few seconds to know that were coming up. He didn't know how they were going to take Jericho. Imagine God told him all this and he goes, "Oh, FYI, when you get across, you're going to march around the city once time for 6 days. On the sixth day, you're going to go 3 times. You're going to yell. The walls are going to crumble down. You run in. It's going to be sweet." He's going to be like, "Are you kidding me?" It says that they got their mighty men of valor. They were ready. They did have to fight, but God is going to do things that we were not expecting. The Bible says, even if someone told them to us, be like, "How's it going? It's going to be like this." No way. I told you, you wouldn't believe it. But we'd have all these questions. He didn't know they were going to lose their second battle. You know, the second one that they go into and they're like, "Yeah, let's go take Ai." And then they start to lose and Joshua falls on his face and he's like, "Lord, what's up, dude? You said all this." And God's like, "Get up." That's an amazing, one day we'll get there. That's another good one. He didn't know they were going to lose their second battle because of sin. Oh yeah, he didn't know about the whole circumcision thing either. That was coming down the way. Imagine God was like, "Oh, and just to let you know, as soon as you cross, first thing I'm going to do," Joshua would be like, whoa. Let's back up. Okay, now I'm moving on. There are many things that we don't know. There are many things that we don't know that if we allow them to, they will keep us from obeying God and from stepping out and experiencing the freshness and excitement of a real spirit-led Christian life. Joshua didn't trade what he didn't know for what he did know about God. And he did know about God's plan. And he did know about God's purposes. So he stepped out in faith. And like a boss, he experienced what it is to be led by God, to be relying upon God, and to see the victories of God. And when he was defeated, he was able to see God raise him back up. This is the life that we're supposed to live as believers. Proverbs 23:23, it says, buy the truth and do not sell it. I love that scripture. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Don't give it away. Don't let anyone steal it from you. There's nothing that is worth what we have in Jesus. Timothy 4, these are life verses for me. Verses 2 through 5. It's where it says, preach the word, be ready, in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, it says they will heap up for themselves teachers. And here's what I want you to get. And they will be turned aside from the truth and be turned aside to fables. There's a time coming. Times like that have been here. Times like that are now. People are being turned aside from the truth, turned aside to fables. The Bible also says expressly, the Spirit says, in the last days, many people are going to turn away. Many, many people who once walked are going to turn away from the faith. But here's what Paul says to Timothy. But you. Anytime the Bible says, but you, I like circle it and I star it. And I'm like, this is for me. But you. Be watchful in all things. Be heads up. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Don't turn aside. Don't let what you don't know rob you of what you do know. How about, well, let's focus on two verses that we do know. These are good. Romans 8:28. You guys know this one? It's good. You should tattoo it on your body somewhere. It says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. We know that all things work together for good. The Bible says that in all things we can give thanks. Listen, it doesn't say for all things we should give thanks. Thanks, God, for that. Thanks, God, for that. It's not what the Bible says. It says in the middle of the storm, you can say, thank you, God, for holding me. We don't thank God for the storm. Maybe you can thank God for the storm later on. Lord, in that time, here's the things that you showed me. But we don't thank God for the bad things that happen. But in the middle of the hard times, we can thank God in those times. Because in those times, he is holding you. His plan is still to give you a hope in the future. His plan is still for you to possess all the areas that wherever you would set your foot. And his word is still that he is with you and he will not leave you or forsake you. Even if you have messed up big time. Don't trade what you know about God for what you don't know about God. It'll make you cower in fear. Psalm 23. What a good psalm. What amazing portion of scripture. Verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Why? For you are with me. You know, I always picture a valley. And it's dark. You know, the thing that casts shadows is light, right? So there's no shadows if there isn't a light. And the thing that has to cast a shadow has to pass something to cast that shadow. Jesus sees everything. In 1 Peter, it says he is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. That word overseer means one who sees the finished product. He sees the end. So we're with the one who sees the end. And it's dark and scary and like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go that way. But if you know that Jesus is with you and you know that his plan for you and for your family is for you to raise your children, for them to follow him as well, for you to be a light in your community, for you to be a good father, even though you've yelled at your kids this week or whatever. All these things he has for you, Don't look at the dark valley. Look at Jesus. He's with you and he's walking with you in those things. Number three, the third thing. Face your fears. So far, we've know that we're not alone. Don't trade what you, I know it's a weird, it's worded weird, but it's cool. Don't trade what you know for what you don't know. And number three, face your fears. Face your fears. Three times in one, two, three times in four verses, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then the second time he says, be strong and very courageous. And then the third time he goes, I command you, be strong and courageous. So do you think that needing that to be three times, do you think Joshua was scared? I think Joshua was terrified. Otherwise, God wouldn't have told him three times to be strong and courageous. God has a way with words. He's pretty good with words. Joshua obviously needed to hear three times that he needed to be strong and to not be afraid and to step out. And God, could you imagine God saying, I am with you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. He's saying that to us this morning. Joshua 1:9, verse 9. It's one of our children's memory verses. I was talking to Bernardo before the service, and they didn't sing it this morning, but it's one that we've gone over at home. It's one that both of my boys know, and it's one that I really hope that the Holy Spirit will implant it upon their hearts, because it says, have I not commanded you? Therefore, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you could impart something to your child, how about that one? For your kid to grow up knowing no matter what they face at school, what they face on sports teams, the fear of failure, the different things that they go through, that they could know that they don't have to shy back and turn away from moving forward, but they can be bold. They can be courageous because that they know, of course they know that mom and dad are with them. I hope they do. We're going to have a time in a little bit where we just pray for one another and we commit our families to the Lord once again. But if our kids just know that God is with me, they just know that in their hearts. I can do this because God is with me. Sometimes I think that we as adults need to just understand the simplicity of how our kids grasp the gospel. We're like, God is with you. They're like, yeah, I know, Dad. You say that all the time. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I kind of need to hear it, bro. So God is with me too. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. And they marveled. And they realized that these men had been with Jesus. And you know what they did after that? That was when they healed the man at the beautiful gate at the temple. God healed that man who was lame in his feet. And he was walking and leaping and praying. I forget the song, but praising God. And then they get arrested and they spend the night in jail and they come back and then they threaten them, don't tell. And they're like, you tell us whatever you think, but what are we going to do? Believe, follow God or follow you? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And then they says they beat them and further threaten them. And then they told them, go and don't preach Jesus anymore. So you know what they did? They went back. They found the other believers, the church. They went to church basically and they found everyone. They're like, yo, check out what happened. And you know what they did? Check it out. It's in verse 29 through 31. Now they prayed and said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants what? That they would leave them alone, that they would stop messing with them, that they would just let them just leave the church alone and let us just do our own thing. No, they prayed the exact opposite. They said, grant to your servants with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Imagine a church that wherever they went, saturated by the love of God and the word of God, would speak the word of God with boldness everywhere we went. And we weren't afraid of the things that might come to us, but we were extending what Jesus had intended from the beginning, that we would be sowing seeds of light and life into people. But what happens is we see all the things we don't know. We see the shadows. We take our eyes off the light and we see all the dark places instead of the things that are lit up. I was with this kid in high school, and this is just coming to me, but we were walking. He was a genius. He tested off the charts for IQ. I think he works for NASA now. And he was hanging with me, which is weird. But we were walking at night in this boulder field, and there was one spotlight off to the distance. So all you could see was the peaks of these rocks, And so I'm stepping from peak to peak on the rocks, and all of a sudden I hear Evan go, "Ah!" And I look back, and he was holding a bottle, and he fell, and he hit his hand on a rock, and it sliced like every tendon in his hand, and we had to get him to the hospital and all the surgery and stuff. But I was like, "What happened?" He goes, "Well, I was stepping in the shadows," and I go, "Wait, what?" And he's like, "Yeah, I was stepping in the dark places." I was like, you're a genius, dude. Like, why were you stepping in the dark places? You can't see there, you know. But like in his brain, just somehow that worked out. Like, that's where he needed to step. And we need to be stepping on the places that are lit up, not stepping on the dark place. Focusing on the dark. We need to be focusing on the light. But we have to move forward. Be strong. Spending time with Jesus will make you bold. It's like a side effect. Why? Because Jesus is bold. Jesus was bold. He walked through, and he wasn't a jerk. He was full. God is love. Jesus is love. He is merciful. He is grace, but he is bold. It's an amazing thing that only Jesus can be. But he confronted dark situations. He did go to places and meet with people that no one else wanted to go to. But he wasn't afraid to stand up for what was right. He was what was right. Spending time with Jesus will make you bold. That's been a prayer of mine for a long, 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 long time. Because it wasn't my tendency. Because I didn't want to be unliked by people in the snowboard community or in the this or in the that. I'm like, man, if I say stuff, they're just going to write me off. And I just want friends, you know. And I think we all feel that way, so we'll just be quiet. But I'm always amazed at what God does when we open up our mouth and we're bold for him and the doors that he opens. It's an amazing thing that happens. I find oftentimes the opposite happens. People don't write you off. They want to talk and they want to see someone who really has convictions about something. And we don't just bring in our opinion. Well, you know what the world should do. We say, we need Jesus, man. That's what I do in my family. I pray that he would lead me through these times because I don't know. But we're bold for the Lord. Because Jesus is truth in the midst of lies. He is light in a dark world. He is life when death approaches. When death comes, Jesus is life. And Jesus is not scared. He's not scared. Just to let you know, he's not caught off guard. He's not scared. He's not tiptoeing through. Says his eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to make himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. This message could have been called something about God's faithfulness, because you can't move forward without looking at the track record in the past. Joshua did that before he went over, as I was with Moses. Joshua saw the things that had happened in the past. So he knew as he was moving forward, those things, he applied all those things by faith to the future. A promise is only as good as the promiser. And the one making these promises, his track record is perfect. Perfect. In Hebrews 10:21, we're almost there. It says, "Let us hold tightly." I'll read the whole thing. "Since we have such a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises." In the middle of the storms, in the middle of the confusion, in the middle of the doubt, in the middle of the not enough money, anyone there? God is faithful to do the things that he said he will do. So don't be scared. Be bold. Don't pump the brakes. Hit the gas. Move forward through this time and watch the Lord work. What are you afraid of? If God be for us, If we really believe him at his word, then it says that he's doing a work. No one can be against us. He's building his church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. So what are we afraid of? What is preventing us from moving forward? And last but not least, number four, it says, get your feet wet. And I wrote both of them. If you flip over to chapter 3, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. The plan was to read chapter 3, but you need to go and you need to look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 is the account of when they crossed the Jordan. So amazing. And the verse I really want you guys to get is this. The whole thing, but we'll just hit a couple. So at the beginning, Joshua, it says in the morning, verse 1, Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Achaia Grove and came to the Jordan. Then they camped there for a couple days. And then he says, here's the plan. When you see the ark of the Lord moving forward, you're going to follow it. And here's what he tells to the priests. He goes, and he tells to the people, you follow the ark of the Lord for, and the second half of verse 4, you have not passed this way before. And it's just like a little flippant thing, but I haven't been able, the whole message came from that half of verse right there. You have not been this way before. I remember asking Steph's dad a while back, my father-in-law, and I was like, man, I can't remember exactly, but I was like, what was it like to watch your kids grow up? Because we were talking about Jonah and Ollie, and I was like, what's it like to watch your kids? And he goes, I'm still doing it. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. And then it just hit me. I was like, wow, that's a trip. Like, imagine when I put myself in his shoes for a second, and I was just like, wow, my wife, mom to my boys, she's still your little girl. I'm like, that's trippy. We've never been here before. I was talking to someone the other day who lost a loved one. And they're like, I got to call this person. I got to do that. I was just like, you're not supposed to know what to do right now. You've never been here before. This was just on my, I was like, there's no reason you should know exactly what to do. We need the Lord's direction. We need his help. And as a church with the things going on, maybe other churches, maybe in past, because history repeats itself, Joshua, they were there, but we've never been right here before. So why should we be the ones that know exactly what to do? We don't, but we know the one who does. That's comforting. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death in 2014 and the craziness going on in the world around us, we don't have to pump the brakes and lay off. We need to move forward. Why? Because Jesus is with us. He's leading his church. He's doing the work. We don't need to be afraid. We need to be bold. We need to be strong. Great men and women are prepared by faithfulness to the small things. I want to do an amazing work for God, you might say. I've been there in my heart. I want to do something awesome, Lord. He's like, sweet. Start out in the small things. I heard this one rapper say, you want to be known worldwide? You had better be known locally. And he was just saying, like, what, you want to go and you want to be like this famous musician or whatever? He's like, you better play every single club, every place where you're at. And you should work hard in the small things to be prepared for the big things. Joshua was prepared because he had been faithfully serving for a long, long time. Each one of you guys, each one of us are uniquely equipped. I used to always get on myself because I wasn't equipped like the person I was like. That person, they could really do something. Because look at them, man. They got the whole, they're like Saul, you know. They got the whole deal going on. You are not like anyone else in this room. I was thinking about just the different families, the different giftings, the different hobbies, the different musical tastes, the different fashion things, all the stuff. I was just like, you are not like anyone in here. You were strategically placed for such a time as this. Your past experiences have prepared you for this moment, this morning, right here. I'm not sure of the examples you had growing up. Men, I'm not sure of your dad's example. I'm not sure of the men around you, their example for you growing up. Maybe they were great. Maybe they weren't so great. Maybe you haven't been so great of an example. But look at verse 7, chapter 3. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you this day. You know what pleases God? Faith. Faith pleases God. For someone to step out into an unknown realm, knowing that they're not alone, that they know certain things from the Lord, and they're not going to trade what they know for what they don't know, that they can be strong and courageous, and that they can step out in faith and get their feet wet, even though the river's raging. And maybe they're like, why don't we just wait for like fall? You know, we got manna every day. This is going good. Let's just wait. And God said, no, I want you to go now. They stepped out. Step out and see what the Lord will do. That verse, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of everyone, that they will know that I will be with you like I was with Moses. That can be yours right now. That can be your verse. You could grab a hold of that and you could be like, today's the day I want God to be with me like he said he was with Moses. He spoke with Moses. He led Moses. Look how he does with Joshua. So do we know how to fix this broken world? No. We know the one that does. We've never been down this road before, but the Holy Spirit will guide us. As they followed the ark into the river, the ark is a representation of God's presence and his commitment to us. Well, Jesus' presence and commitment to us, he died on the cross that he may go to heaven and we would receive the Holy Spirit inside of us that would be our guide through the tough times. The Spirit will guide us. The thing that we must do is set ourselves apart and watch the Lord do wonders among us. I believe we're living in a radical time because we don't need to be afraid. And I think that God is raising up his church to move out in new, fresh ways, because I believe he wants to pour out his Spirit on this earth again. And I believe he wants to draw many, many people to himself. And he's looking for people that are committed to him to do it. So men, whether you've been a good example or a bad example, maybe you were a bad example this week. I was last week. And I had to ask for forgiveness from my family, my boys, for snapping on them for no reason other than, you know, it was a long day or whatever my excuse was. But the Bible says this day can be different. We can stand up. Wives, what that means is, as your men, your husband, as he says, I want that to be me. That's my heart. I want to do that. It's not like, well, we've heard that before. It's, I'm with you. That's who we are. And the reason I chose this message for today, because our children are with us. And if you're a man, woman, 16 or older, and that's your heart, I'm committed to Jesus. I want to move forward in a new, bold, fresh way. But I want you to stand up right now. And I want our children to be able to see that this is what Christian moms and dads do. That we're not perfect. We don't know all the answers. We may have the things we do in our family and we think that that's good, but our family's not better than another family. Our way is not better than another family. It's just the way that we feel the Lord is calling us to lead our family. But we're here together. We come together. The Bible says when we come together, it stirs one another up for a good work. Speaking of which, this building looks amazing. It looks it's like a whole different building from last week with all the work that's being done. And it looks so good. But as you come together, the work that we do, it only stirs us up on the inside for the things of the Lord. Our children are being told that they need to be quiet and be afraid and sit down and just knock it off. But they need to see parents, older brothers and sisters that are not scared, that are not ashamed, and that are courageous and are stepping out and watching God work in their lives. Because when they get older and it gets handed to them, are they going to say, you know what, as God was with my parents, he's going to be with me too? Or are they going to say, I don't know, they never really seem to do much for us? Let it be the first one. We have a living, breathing God who really does guide and provide. Let us cross over into a new place this season, this school year. Reach out into your community. Let's be bold for the Lord and see what he might do this next year. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord God. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and to just proclaim your faithfulness, Lord, Even when we mess up, you remain faithful. Father, today is the day that we commit ourselves to you again until tomorrow, and then we'll do it again. Because you give us daily the things we need for the day. Each day, Lord, you give them to us. May we be like Joshua and meditate on your word night and day and not depart from it to the left or to the right. For then we will be successful, you say. So we thank you, Lord God. Thank you for those that have put in the hard work and working around the building and the things that they're doing, Lord. We know you are honored by that. We ask that you would stir up those love and good works amongst us and that you would just minister to our hearts now, Lord. And as we're dismissed, Father, if you are speaking to someone in here and they need to talk to somebody or receive prayer or give their life to you because they feel alone and they don't want to feel alone anymore, may they not leave, Lord. May today be the day that they plant that flag and say, I want to be with Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for our children. They are a blessing. Help us to raise them, Lord God. Help us to lead them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.